Hello, and welcome to the audio version of Garbage Day. This is the April 17th issue titled New Dinner Party Simulation App Dropped. Listen to the end for a good post. Those who do not learn from Clubhouse are doomed to repeat Clubhouse. Earlier this week, I got access to AirChat, which is apparently still invite-only. Wired is already calling the app Silicon Valley's latest obsession. And Business Insider says it's getting tons of buzz with tech industry, creators. It's actually awful, and a hilarious example of how thoroughly cooked Web 2.0 is, but we'll get to that in a sec. AirChat is another audio-first social network, similar to Clubhouse. Unlike Clubhouse, though, its interface is genuinely impressive. When you open it up, it looks a lot like Threads or any other algorithmically sorted Twitter clone, but the posts are transcripts of audio and video recordings. There's also a play button you can hit that will just autoplay your feed. I let it go for a while this morning, and it was an interesting experience. AirChat, ironically enough, doesn't really make sense if you just listen to it. It's a lot of short conversations, and without the app's visual interface, those fragments just sound like random voices. As for the content on there, it's exactly what you would expect from an invite-only app that has tons of buzz in Silicon Valley. Just the worst, most basic college freshman dorm tier icebreakers from wear a leather jacket in the office millennials chasing the high of their first Foursquare check-in. AirChat was built by Naval Ravikant, a tech entrepreneur and regular guest on Joe Rogan, and Brian Norgaard, Tinder's head of product. According to Bloomberg, by using the app, you grant it a non-exclusive, worldwide, royalty-free, perpetual, irrevocable, fully sub-licensable license to use, reproduce, archive, edit, translate, create derivative works of, make available, distribute, sell, display, perform, transmit, broadcast, and any other way exploit those user submissions. The app is already using an AI to clean up users' voices, and Ravikant, in a conversation on the app, said they don't plan to train AI models with user content, but they might train a model to make better audio enhancements. Oh, also, Bloomberg notes that OpenAI's Sam Altman was an early AirChat investor, though I doubt AirChat users will care about that, seeing as how one of the largest communities on the app is for the EAC movement. Or effective accelerationism, the AI evangelist splinter group that wants to use AI to blow up society. On Monday, I described Facebook as a data holding pen for advertisers to harvest, but it's not just Facebook and it's not just advertisers. Every social network, Reddit, Tumblr, X/Twitter, TikTok, is now primarily an AI training pool. Though I've reached the point where I don't even really care about that anymore, the real issue with AirChat is that it's boring as hell. Clubhouse, the clear inspiration for AirChat, blew up, debatable, during the pandemic thanks to a couple key factors. People with email jobs couldn't go outside, or at least couldn't post about being outside. The crypto market was on a bull run, so everyone was rich with fake money. And perhaps most crucially and most often overlooked, a lot of people decided to reinvent their lives, and a big chunk of those people decided that they were tech founders now. These people LARP as CEOs on TikTok podcasts and whine on X all day about tech reviewers like Marcus Brownlee not respecting the builder's mindset. And Clubhouse, and now AirChat, smartly realized that if you dangle the promise of talking to Andreessen Horowitz employees in front of them, these rubes will use their dinner party simulation apps long enough to harvest their voices to train their AI models. It's so bleak. I've seen people on AirChat already talking about flying to San Francisco to meet all their new AirChat friends. Do not do this. You are in an MLM for people who know what GitHub is but don't know how to use it. Get help. But the real reason I think AirChat is the ultimate sign of the end of Web 2.0 is that every new app now that isn't run by ByteDance launches by dropping these same weirdos into a new enclosure. It's the same 250 cool product managers and white nationalist crypto backpack zoomers jumping from one friendship casino to another. These are emo night cruises for people who remember clout. Look, I don't know what the future will bring, but we are clearly done with whatever this is. There has to be something new coming. For the love of God, people, we can't keep doing this. Some good old-fashioned Trump content, and it's a Twitter embed from a user named Schneedad that reads, "Had to make the Ken Burns edit to stop the intrusive thoughts." And it's a clip of Trump talking about Gettysburg.
"Union was saved by the immortal heroes at Gettysburg. Gettysburg, what an unbelievable battle that was, the Battle of Gettysburg. What an unbelievable, I mean, it was so much and so interesting and so vicious and horrible and so beautiful in so many different ways. It represented such a big portion of...
Also, here's a good spot to mention that Trump had to sit through a bunch of mean memes read out loud to him. It was part of the juror selection process for his current criminal trial in New York, and you can read about that in today's newsletter. There's a link to the Rolling Stone article. It's very good. Okay, Fediverse, I'm beginning to see the vision. I've come across three projects slash essays over the last few weeks that have started to make me very excited about the Fediverse. They haven't assuaged my fears that it's too complicated for the average user to really care about, but I'm beginning to see the possibilities here. First, I can't recommend this essay on the Fediverse of Things by Terence Eden highly enough. The broad strokes are that by using ActivityPub, you could build a network of social accounts for things like municipal services or even all the light bulbs in your house. It seems feasible that every civic object could have a Fediverse account, Eden writes, from the individual streetlights to the municipal sewage system. Perhaps people won't send love letters to overflowing drains, but a social dashboard of your civic engagement could be both practical and delightful. The next project was Anuj Ahuja's essay about trying to connect his Threads account to Mastodon, which I think does a very good job of explaining how ActivityPub could be used to build a TweetDeck-like interface for, well, anything that runs on the protocol, which is very cool. And finally, this morning, I found a podcast tool built on ActivityPub called Podcast AP, created by Tim Chambers. It uses a bridge to connect podcast RSS feeds, another open protocol, to the Fediverse. The reason I find all of these exciting is because they offer a vision of a very different kind of internet experience, one where the web isn't condensed into privately owned social networks, but one where the social network experience is freed from the network. Internet content of any shape or format can be tracked, interacted with, and shared in real time. It'll be a real uphill battle to get the average user to care about this stuff, but if the process of using these tools can be made simpler, it might be possible. AI wearables should actually just be smart home devices. Bloomberg host Ed Ludlow posed an interesting question about AI wearables this week. What's very interesting about Humane AI Pin is whether you're talking the at-home versus on-the-go use case. At home, I'm a big Alexa user. I have an Echo Dot in most rooms. I find it useful, he wrote. Now, on the go, I use Siri because I'm an iPhone user, but it's not great, is it? Thoughts. This is not dissimilar from a point Molly White made this week, who wrote, AI tools do a poor job of much of what people try to do with them. They can't do the things their creators claim they one day might, and many of the things they are well suited to do may not be altogether that beneficial. The funny thing is there is a clear use case for AI-powered hardware, and it becomes overwhelmingly obvious when you walk through what an AI chat interface requires: a stable internet connection and a place quiet enough to talk to it. Generative AI should just be a smart home device. Both Google Home and Alexa were supposed to get some kind of generative AI feature, but as a home user, I haven't noticed any difference. In fact, most of my Google connected devices don't even really work anymore. So why weren't smart home devices the first stop for this tech, and why is everyone clamoring to build some kind of wearable? Well, my hunch is, first, because wearables are seen by other people and tend to advertise themselves, and second, because smart home devices have been so bad and so useless for so long that it's basically tarnished for at least a generation. Coachella is weird now, which is cool, but probably not good for Coachella. This year's Coachella is a fantastic snapshot of how fragmented pop culture is right now. It has probably the weirdest, most eclectic lineup it's had in years, including Japanese vocaloid Hatsune Miku, Clowncore, The Aquabats somehow, Grimes, Blur, and Taking Back Sunday, which has already resulted in some very funny drama. Miku fans are mad the virtual pop star performed on a backdrop instead of her usual hologram. Blur got such a lukewarm response they vowed to never come back. Grimes revealed she can't do basic math and had to stop her set several times because the BPMs of her songs were all accidentally doubled. Hey, I get it. I recently had to reboot my entire laptop on stage during a Garbage Day live set. And Zoomers discovered that Taking Back Sunday is arguably the worst sounding professional live band of all time. They usually still put on a good show, though. If the internet is anything to go off of, and it isn't, to be honest, the standout performance this year was Chappelle Roan, who's blowing up right now because Zoomers have 21 Pilots brain and don't know who Marina and the Diamonds is. Casual rips, though. All of this has resulted in a ticket sales drop of 15 to 20% since last year, which is possibly related to the lack of monoculture right now, but it also might be the rampant piracy of performance streams and high-quality fan cams, but it also might be related to music festivals as a whole losing their status as a place to see and be seen. But all of that also might just be related to the lack of monoculture right now. Speaking of which, websites might be coming back. One of the most exciting new releases this year is a double album called Diamond Jubilee by the artist Cindy Lee, which was released not on a streamer like Spotify, but on a GeoCities page. Pitchfork gave Diamond Jubilee an astonishing 9.1, and while it's not exactly my thing, I think it's pretty good. But the release strategy is what I'm geeking out about more, and Cindy Lee isn't the only artist beginning to experiment with this kind of album drop. Last week, Pharrell released an album on a standalone website as well. One thing that I don't think is highlighted enough is the role music as an art form has in bringing out philosophical changes in how we use technology. Peer-to-peer music piracy laid the groundwork for all viral media sharing that would come after. MP3 players like the iPod were the forefathers of the smartphone. Spotify, you could argue, popularized streaming faster than Netflix did. And TikTok used shareable iterative audio to standardize short-form video. So I don't think it's overblown to say that if musicians can find a utility for single-purpose websites, eventually everyone else will too. Luke Foods has done it again. This is a TikTok from the TikTok user Luke Foods, who just ate a garlic naan and butter chicken fountain in his car. So what you're about to hear is a man in his car trying to eat butter chicken out of like a fountain you would put wine or chocolate in. One of those.
Fine Indian food with a butter chicken fountain. Yes, a butter chicken fountain, guys. Look at this. This is insane. We're taking it to the next level here on Luke Foods.
Take some of that garlic naan and just let the butter chicken drip all over it, baby. Oh, yeah. Lather that naan, baby.
Some stray links. First, we have the New York Times style profile of Rusty Foster from Today in Tabs. Very exciting that Rusty finally got an internet connection up there in Maine. Good for him. Then we have the invisible seafaring industry that keeps the internet afloat on The Verge. And lastly, we have how cheap outsourced labor in Africa is shaping AI English by The Guardian. And all of those links you can find at the end of today's newsletter. And finally, the PS is a good post. This post is from a user on X named Jack Venning. It's a screenshot of a terrible X ad from an account called Lifehack Guru that reads, "Place an ice cube on a burger. Place an ice cube on a burger when grilling. Here's why." And it's a picture of a burger with an ice cube on it. And Jack Venning writes, "Yelling this into a payphone as the time travel police scramble to arrest me."